Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Kuf Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today, we begin the 8th Perek of Chulin, the Perek's name, Kol HaBosar. It features the halachas, the laws concerning milk and meat, basar v'cholav. The shir will begin from the very bottom of Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. The last three lines you can see is the beginning of this new perek. The Mishnah, Kol HaBosar Osur Levashel B'cholav. All meat is forbidden to cook with milk. Chutz mibesar dogim v'chagovim, with the exception of the meat of fish and kosher insects. V'osur lahalois im hagvino al hashulchan. It is forbidden to have meat and cheese, milk, on the table together. Chutz mibesar dogim v'chagovim. This restriction of having the meat and cheese on the table at the same time does not apply to fish and kosher insects. Rashi points out at the bottom line, v'osur lalos, it's forbidden to have the meat and cheese at the same time on the table. Dilma osi lemichlinu ki hadodi, deko nagi ubali mehadodi. There is a fear that one will come to eat them at a point that they end up touching one another and absorbing one from the other. The afagav shemutur lechol boser achar gevino, even though it's allowed for one to eat meat after eating cheese, kidamrinon begemara, nevertheless, if they're on the table at the same time, there is this fear that they will come into contact with one another, and you're in effect eating a form of boser becholov. There is a lot of introductory information that one might present at this point, but we will let the information flow as the Gemara and the Perek unfolds. One thing may be of importance to point out at the outset. The Torah has three psukim, three times the Pasuk says, Lo sevashel gdi b'chalev imo. Literally, one shall not cook the goat in its mother's milk. But the Torah Shebal Peh, the oral tradition, understands that teaching is not limited to that very specific case of goat in mother's milk, but it applies to all cases of meat and milk, and the Torah prohibition involves the cooking of the two together. However, the fact that it's repeated in that form three times, lo sevashel, sevashel means cooking, lo sevashel gedi b'chalev imo, the chachomim, the sages, reveal to us that there are actually three separate prohibitions on a Torah level. One is the act of cooking meat and milk together. The second is the prohibition of eating meat and milk that was cooked together. We emphasize that the eating on a Torah level is limited to meat cooked together with milk. And the third prohibition is what's called an Isur Hanor, the prohibition of even benefiting from it. If, let us say, someone cooked up meat and milk and then wanted to feed it to his dog, where he himself isn't eating it, but he's benefiting by the fact that his dog is going to eat this dish, that would be prohibited. And certainly to sell it and get money in exchange for meat and milk, that meat and milk that was cooked together, that would be prohibited. The Mishnah goes on at the top of Kuf Dalid Omid Aleph. Hanoder min habosar, one who vows not to benefit or partake of meat, mutar bibsar dogim v'chagovim. He is allowed, in other words, his vow does not include fish and kosher variety insects. We can infer from this Mishnah, the Mishnah made reference a few times to the exceptions, namely fish and insects. For example, the opening of the Mishnah has said, all meat is forbidden to cook in milk. What is not included? Fish and insects. Well, what about fowl? What about bird? Chicken? Ha oif. The Gemara now infers, however, bird meat, asur midoraisa, that would be forbidden. In other words, the heter of cooking meat and milk together would extend only to dogim and chagovim, as the Mishnah said. But we could infer that fowl, that bird meat, would be treated as regular meat. Well, that gives rise to a question. We have a long question ahead of us, and you can see that this is featured by the long question marking. We have a kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. At this point, we have a topic heading that we feature in the outside margin, where we have written Mishnosenu Demashma Bishul Oif Becholov equals Doraisa Keman. Our Mishnah, which implies that the cooking of bird meat in milk would be a Torah level prohibition, as opposed to a rabbinic prohibition, but our Mishnah implies it's a Torah level in prohibition, being that it's equated with all other meat. Who would say that? Who would maintain that position? So the Gemara says that Keman, like whom? Delo k'Rabbi Akiva. That would appear to be unlike Rabbi Akiva. The reason, by the way, we have a long question is because the style of this Gemara is, well, from the beginning of the Mishnah, it seems not like Rabbi Akiva. But then when we read the Seifa, it would seem that it conforms to Rabbi Akiva, and hence giving rise to a Mishnah that doesn't seem to have balance to it. That on the one hand, the Reisha is the Rabbanon, and the Seifa is Rabbi Akiva. That's an odd structure to a Mishnah. So that is going to be the culmination of the question. As you can see, it lasts a number of lines. So in the meantime, the opening of the Mishnah, the Gemara feels, is not like Rabbi Akiva. Why? The Gemara on the third line continues, the E Rabbi Akiva, if our Mishnah were reflecting the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, Ha'omar, he has been known to say, Chaya v'oif eino min ha-Torah. Chaya are undomesticated kosher variety animals, and oaf, bird meat, cooked with milk, is not a Torah prohibition. And yet our Mishnah implies that it is a Torah prohibition. So our Mishnah does not seem to conform to Rabbi Akiva. Well, Amos Seifa. Let us now quote the Seifa. We have a frame around the source, the Tanaic source, our Mishnah, that said, Hanoder min habosar. Seifa is a reference to the latter part of the Mishnah. One who vowed not to eat meat, mutar bibsar dogim v'chagovim. His vow does not concern fish and insects. Now we can infer ha oif osir. However, for one who was noder min habosar, he said, I don't want to partake of bosar. Fowl meat, bird meat, would be included in this vow. Now, this idea that bird meat would be included, this ason le Rabbi Akiva, this conforms to Rabbi Akiva's approach to vows, as will be illustrated. The Omar, Rabbi Akiva holds, he has said, kol mili de mimlech ale shaliach bar minei hu. Any item that you, let us say, sent a shaliach, a messenger out, you sent someone to buy something for you, and you stated an item, and the shliach comes back and says, well, do you mean for me to get this? And he mentions some other item that's very close to the item I mentioned. That shows the fact that he is coming to consult according to Rabbi Akiva. That shows that they are one in the same. This is now illustrated. Desanya, we have another Tanaic source. And in this source, we will notice Rabbi Akiva appears as part of a controversy. Hanoder min hayerek, mutter bediluin. One who, let us say, vows not to benefit from, not to eat, yerek. Yerek will have to translate for the time being as vegetables. He is mutter bediluin. Now, those of you who have been participating in Gemara markings, Dafyomi Shiurim, know that we are reticent to translating things related to the animal and plant kingdom. Unless we have a very solid tradition on them, we generally like to use the Hebrew word of the Gemara as it is, without attempting to translate. Unless, of course, as we said, we have a very solid tradition on it. Things like chita is wheat, gefen is a reference to the vine or grapes. But other terms we are a little hesitant in translating, because over the ages, things might have, the actual true meaning might have gotten lost. In this case, we're a little bit pressed, so we'll have to attempt a translation. Even though it might not be totally accurate. So this source talks about one who vowed not to eat yerek. Well, it says here, mutter b'diluin. It would be mutter for him to partake of diluin. Possibly something like a pumpkin or squash. Rabbi Akiva oser. Rabbi Akiva says, no, if one vowed not to partake of yerek, he is not allowed to partake of diluin. Amru lo l'Rabbi Kiva. The Tanakama, the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Kiva, they say to him, "Valo omer adam l'shlucho." A person might say to his emissary, "Kach lonu yerek." Go out and buy for us yerek. And the guy, the emissary, goes to the market, and he comes back and says, "V'omer lo matzasi elo diluin." I didn't find any yerek, I found diluin. So from the fact that he says, I didn't find yerek, but I found diluin, according to the Tanakam, it shows that diluin is something other than yerek. Omar Lohen, so Rabbi Kiva says back, Kain Hadover, he says, precisely, this illustrates my point. If I sent a shliach out to buy yerek, Klum Omer, would he come back and say Lo Matzasi Ela Kitnis, that I didn't find anything other than kitnis, legumes? He wouldn't say that. In other words, just to make it a little more exaggerated, if I sent someone out to buy yerek, he wouldn't come back and say, well, I didn't find anything other than cars for sale. He wouldn't mention that, because cars have nothing to do with yerek. If he comes back and says, I didn't find yerek, but I found something else, it must be the other thing that he found is related. So claims Rabbi Akiva. Elo shediluin b'chlal yerek. By the fact that he comes back and says, after being sent out to buy diluin, he comes back and says, I found only diluin. So it shows us that the diluin are bichlal yerek. They ain't kitnis bichlal yerek. However, kitnis is another type of vegetation that doesn't fall under the category of yerek. So at this point then, structurally, our Mishnah appears to be as follows. The resha, which implied that fowl meat and milk cooked together would be a Torah-level prohibition, that is not like Rabbi Akiva. The seifa, which indicates that one who vows from meat is not allowed to partake of fowl meat, because fowl meat is considered meat in the context of vows, that conforms to Rabbi Akiva. So Reisha, Rabbonon, Vesefo, Rabbi Kiva, should we come to this conclusion? Which, in general, is not a desired conclusion when you have a Mishnah that has no names in it to suggest that it's authored by two separate authors. So what are we to do? The Gemara has two approaches. Number one, Omar of Yosef, Rebbe he. Our Mishnah is authored by a singular individual. It happens to be Rebbe. That Rebbe is Rav Yehuda HaNossi, the famous editor of the Mishnayos, and he compiled this Mishnah, the Nosiv Lo Alibo de Tanoi. And he brings in the information contained in the Reisha and the Seifa based on, in fact, he incorporated two, he adopted, we'll say, two separate opinions in forming his own Mishnah. B'nedarim Savar Lo K'Rabbi Kiva, Rebbe, with regard to Nedarim, which was the topic of the Seifa, he accepts Rabbi Kiva's analysis. And B'Bosar B'Cholav, as far as what is prohibited in being cooked together with milk, Savar Lo K'Rabbonon, he holds, Rebbe holds like the Rabbonon on that issue. In effect, they're two separate issues, and Rebbe, he amalgamated both into his own corpus of law, and hence we see the product of that in the form of our Mishnah. So it's not two separate opinions that are responsible for the Mishnah. Rebbe authored the Mishnah, and in developing his legal outlook, he happened to draw from different authorities. Rav Ashi, a second approach, Omar Kulo Rebbe Akiva Hi. Rav Ashi feels that our entire Mishnah, in fact, reflects Rebbe Akiva. The Hochi Ka'omar. Now, as far as the Seifa is concerned, that's easy to understand. What about the Reisha? How is the Reisha to be understood as in accordance with Rebbe Akiva? V'hochi ka'omar. Thusly, we are to understand the Mishnah. In Gemara markings, we frame off where the Gemara presents the Mishnah as it should be understood, even if it's not an actual Mishnah, but nevertheless, we treat this as if it's a Tanaic source, because this is the Gemara's understanding of how the Mishnah should read. Therefore, we have a frame around the next few lines. It says, the Mishnah, therefore, is as follows. Kol habosar osur levashil b'cholov. All meat is forbidden to be cooked with milk. Mehen midivrei Torah u mehen midivrei sofrim. Some are forbidden on a Torah level. Some are forbidden on a rabbinic level. Now, you'll notice we dashed underline this midivrei sofrim, because this is where the bird issue comes in. According to Rabbi Kiva, even though bird in milk cooked together is not a Torah prohibition, nevertheless, there is a rabbinic prohibition. So if the Mishnah, in fact, implied that birds were usur, were forbidden, that is the case, even according to Rabbi Kiva. It's just that they're forbidden on a rabbinic level. Chutz mipsar dogim v'chagovim, with the exception of the flesh of fish and kosher insects, she'enam lo midivrei Torah v'lo midivrei sofrim. They are not prohibited at all, not on a Torah level and not even on a rabbinic level. The Gemara goes on. Now, even though it appears that we're starting a new discussion, it will be pointed out as we go on in the Gemara that Rav Yosef, who is about to appear in the Gemara, will in effect represent a challenge to the way Rav Ashi learned our Mishnah, as we'll see very shortly. So, in the meantime, as far as a topic is concerned, this will be presented as Rav Yosef's attempt to show that our Mishnah is of the opinion that basar of becholov is doraisa, that foul meat with milk is a Torah-level prohibition, that's the opinion of our Mishnah. Now, he attempts to show that by the fact that our Mishnah says that it's also to have meat and milk on the table at the same time, and the only exception being insects and fish, but bird meat on the table together with cheese would be osir. Now, having them on the table at the same time is a rabbinic restriction. Now, Rav Yosef will tell you that rabbis do not impose rabbinic restrictions unless they are there to guard against a Torah-level violation. In other words, we have an actual Torah-level violation, and if we come close to violating that, in other words, we're one step away, the rabbis often impose a rabbinic restriction called a gzeirah. However, Rav Yosef is of the opinion that the Rabbanon will not impose a rabbinic restriction in order to serve as a guard or a fence against violating another rabbinic restriction, where that second rabbinic restriction may itself be a fence or a guard against an actual Torah violation. So that you have to be, according to Rav Yosef's perception, in order for the Rabbanon to move in and make a gzeirah, it would have to be in anticipation of a Torah-level violation that could arise. So if we are, if the Mishnah is ruling that it's forbidden to have bird meat with milk or with cheese on the table at the same time, which, as we said, that's a rabbinic prohibition, it's because if I were to have them on the table at the same time, I might come to eat them together. Well, then eating together must be a Torah violation. That's bird meat with milk together while eating must be a Torah violation. Hence, Rav Yosef comes to his conclusion based on that. Using the Gemara or the rabbinic terminology, the Rabbanan would not make a gzeira l'gzeira. That's a rabbinic prohibition in anticipation of another rabbinic violation. Now, the Gemara. Omar Rav Yosef. We should read actually the first words on the line. The osur lahalos, the Mishnah had mentioned that it is prohibited to have on the table. The lashon of the Mishnah was osur lahalos imagvino ala shulchan. It's also to have meat on brought up on the table with cheese, chutz mibsar dogim vechagovim, with the exception of fish and kosher insects. They can be together with milk or cheese at the same time. Omar Rav Yosef, Shma Mino, from this prohibition of having fowl meat, bird meat, chicken and milk on the table at the same time, this shows us Basar Of, Becholov, equals Deoraisa, that's a Torah-level prohibition. In other words, according to Rav Yosef, our Mishnah holds bird meat and milk together is an Issur D'oraisa, and that's not like the way Rav Ashi had presented our Mishnah. Rav Ashi had presented our Mishnah earlier as being authored by Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva holds that bird meat and milk is a rabbinic prohibition. And you see Rav Yosef has a different approach to things. He claims that our Mishnah reflects Of B'cholov as being D'oraisa. De'i salka daitoch d'rabbonon. If you were to think that it's the Rabbanan, well, achila gufa gzera. If you were to hold that chicken and milk together is a rabbinic prohibition, so then the eating of it would be a rabbinic prohibition. Vana nigzar halo otu achila. Would we, the Rabbanan, come and ban having them together in anticipation of eating them? But the basic eating of bird meat and milk together itself is only a rabbinic prohibition. So it must be that that's not the case. It must be that bird and milk is d'oraisa, and hence the Rabbanon moved in and made a rabbinic restriction of having them together on the table at the same time. At this point in our Gemara, we're going to offer one of the unique features to Gemara markings is the use of brackets. Here we have a little bit of a deliberation whether or not to suggest these brackets as brackets for skipping purposes, but you'll notice that there's a bracket length indicator to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and this takes you down the upper part of Omid Beis. The end of the line, you see the word maskif, where the bracket length indicator ends, and on that line, the bracket's closed. At that point, Rav Sheshes raises a question. Rav Sheshes asks on Rav Yosef, you should know, Rav Yosef, he says, even as things are in the Mishnah, that that the Mishnah prohibits the presence of chicken and meat on the table at the same time, that still is in fact a gezeira le gezeira. Because what are you anticipating? If you're anticipating that if the chicken and the milk are on the table at the same time, he may come to eat that chicken with the milk, and you are claiming that that's d'oraisa, it's not true. It's not a Torah-level prohibition. So if we read the Gemara momentarily after the brackets, and by the way, the basis of our bracket is found in the Tosfos. Tosfos says that Maskef Rav Sheshes lo Abaye Koparach, this question is not a question posed against Abaye who appeared just before this section, but it's Elo Arav Yosef Chaver Parach Kedepirish B'Kuntris, as Rashi also explains. So that our brackets are here to show that this Maskef lo Rav Sheshes is a question focused against Rav Yosef. So let us read this section after the brackets. Maskif Rav Sheshes, sof sof, but at the end of the day, at the end of the picture, so to speak, tsonein b'tsonein hu. Even if you come to eat the chicken with the milk that happens to be on the table that you said shouldn't, that the Mishnah said shouldn't have been there, if you eat them together, it's still cold with cold. Tsonein is cold, means not cooked together. They weren't cooked together. They were, let's say, improperly brought on the table. And then someone saw them together on the table and then ate them together. The eating together of tsonein b'tsonein, of cold items, is not a Torah violation. So how is it possible that you're trying to prove that from our Mishnah, the Isser HaLaw, the Isser of having them together, indicates that the eating together must be a Doraisa violation? It's simply not true. Amar Abaye. Abaye answers that the Mishnah is anticipating, in fact, a Torah violation. Gzeiro shemo yale be'ilfis roseach. If we allow them to be together on the table, he might have the, let us say, put the chicken in a bowl of hot milk. So we don't want you putting them on the table together because he might come to put the chicken in hot milk. And, well, that's already not sone, that's heat. And heat is in the realm of Torah violation. The Gemara asks, though, sof sof, but still, a bowl is called a kli sheni hu. Kli sheni is a reference to vessels that are secondary, namely secondary to the cooking process. They're vessels that were not on the stove. Ukli sheni eino mevashel. The concept, the legal concept of cooking, applies only to something called a kli rishon. Those are vessels that had been on the fire. And we know in other areas of halacha, for example, in Hilchos Shabbos, a kli rishon, as opposed to a kli sheni, being that the kli rishon was on the fire, its walls, the walls of the vessel, of the pot walls themselves, have absorbed heat, and they will maintain heat longer than a kli sheni. So even if you're saying that don't have meat, chicken meat and and milk on the table at the same time, because that may lead you to putting it into a bowl of hot milk, that itself would still be a rabbinic violation, and then therefore there's still no proof from the Gzera of Halal, the Isra law, that chicken and milk is a Torah problem. Elo, so here we have a final answer. Gzera Shemo Yale Beilfis Rishon. Ilfis Rishon is a reference to a pot or a pan that's a Kli Rishon that was on the fire. So that Rav Yosef, if he adopts this answer, in fact can maintain his position that chicken in milk must be Doraisa, because otherwise the Mishnah wouldn't have banned having them on the table at the same time. And as far as the final answer of the Gemara is concerned, we don't want you having them on the table at the same time, because you might have a case of chicken and a pot of hot milk that was taken off the fire on the table at the same time, and in such a case, you might come to toss the chicken into the pot of hot milk and end up eating that. Now, that would be a Torah violation. You'll end up eating chicken cooked in milk, and meat cooked in milk is already a Torah issue. And once again, just to repeat ourselves, from the fact that the Mishnah bans putting them on the table, the chicken with the milk at the same time, it must be that that's one step away from what could be a Torah violation, and that is the cooking of the chicken in the milk and eating it. Now we go back over the Gemara. We have a bracketed section. We just to review the Gemara just before that, we had Rav Yosef saying that it must be that the Mishnah holds that chicken in milk is an Isser Doraisa, because if you were to think that the eating of chicken and milk is a rabbinic prohibition, then the Mishnah would not have banned putting them on the table at the same time, because that would have then been a gzera ligzera, and we don't impose rabbinic rulings like having on table at the same time in anticipation of something that itself is only rabbinic in nature. Now, the Gemara goes on in the brackets, Umino Temra Delo Gazrinon Gzera Ligzera. From where do we know, and I think it would be accurate to say, from where does Rav Yosef know that as a matter of practice we don't make gzera l'gzera? This not. So the following Tanaic source is cited as a basis for this idea that we don't make gzera l'gzera. The source involves something called chalas chutzlaretz. So let's say a word about this before learning the Gemara. Chala is a tithe taken from dough. When one is preparing some baked item, he needs dough, and from the dough, a portion is removed and given to a kohen. That portion is called chala. In the area outside of the land of Israel, namely Chutzalaretz, the obligation of tithing dough is a rabbinic level obligation. As a result of it being a rabbinic level obligation, we find certain, let's say, relaxations in the law that you would not find regarding challah in Eretz Yisrael. It might be pointed out that challah is very often parallel to truma. Truma is something that's also for a non-Kohen to eat. Truma is something like challah that must be protected from tuma. It has to be nishmar, guarded from tuma. People in general who are not learned, they're called amaratzim, amei haaretz, they are not careful in these matters, so you wouldn't give truma or challah in the land of Israel to a kohen that's an amaretz. However, when it comes to challah in chutzlaretz, the primary concern was simply that it's given to a Kohen, but the level of guarding wasn't of uppermost concern. So the source says as follows: Chalas chutzal oretz ne'echeles im hazar al hashulchan. The challah tithe that's eventually it's given to a kohen, and we're talking about in the diaspora outside of Eretz Yisrael, can be eaten while a non-kohen is eating at the same table his own food. So in other words, you can have challas chutzloretz and a kohen is eating that seated at a table together with a Yisrael who's eating his own food, and we're not worried that the Zar is the non-Kohen, that the Zar will come to take and eat from the Chalas Chutzlaretz. And another relaxation in Halacha is, V'nitenes l'chol Kohen Shiyirtze, one can give his Chalas Chutzlaretz tithe to any Kohen he wants, even if he's a Kohen who's an Ama Oretz. What do we see from this? What we're supposed to see is as follows. The Chalas Chutzlaretz we allow to be eaten at the table together with Yisrael. And we're not going to ban them eating it together based on the possibility that the Yisrael might eat from it. And why is it that we're not concerned with that possibility? The answer would seem to be because even if the Yisrael, the non-Kohen, the Zar, were to actually eat from it, that itself would be a rabbinic violation. So, being that as Rav Yosef is trying to show us, Ein Gozrin Gzera L'Gzera, we're not going to impose a ban on having the Kohen and Yisrael eat at the table simultaneously, because of a fear that the Yisrael might come to eat that which the Kohen is eating, the Chalas Chutzlaretz. And the reason, once again, that we're not going to prevent them from eating together is because in the worst case scenario, if he were to come to eat from it, that itself would only be a rabbinic violation. So at this point, we see an example or an illustration from a source that the Rabbonon do not impose a gzera l'gzera. Now, Abaye moves in and challenges this as being a source for such an idea. Abaye, the thrust of this piece of Gemara that you can see is accompanied by a long question marking. To the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, we have a kuf that's encircled with a vertical dashed line indicating that the following lines form the Abaye's objection. Abaye will tell us that had there been a slightly different illustration, then we would have been able to come to a conclusion of Ein Gozrin Gzera L'Gzera. However, the illustration of the Chalas Chutzlaretz in Chutzlaretz, the reason that there is no prohibition isn't because of Ein Gozrin Gzera L'Gzera, but it's because there is no basis for even worrying about something going wrong. We will see shortly that the realm of making gezeros is because there is some kind of, we'll call it, worst case Torah scenario lurking in the background. If there is a worst case scenario that would involve a Torah violation, so we move in to make gezeros. And Abaye will tell us that had there been a possible Torah violation lurking in the background, then it could very well be that we would impose multiple level gzeros, fences upon fences to protect against violating a Torah precept. However, in the case of the Chalas Chutzlaretz, there isn't even a potential Torah violation that can come to be. And therefore, Abaye's arguing that from this source you don't see the concept of Ein Gozrin Gzera L'Gzera. And if it would then come out that if Rav Yosef's entire proof is based on this source, there would then be a weakness in it, and one could conceivably argue that chicken in milk might itself be only derabbanan, and yet, since chicken in milk could lead to a Torah-level prohibition, it was nevertheless still banned, and they would have even banned having chicken and milk on the table at the same time, even though it's a gzeira. Now, let us see this inside. Second line from the top, Omar Le Abaye. Abaye challenges Rav Yosef. He says, "E ashme'inen chalas chutzo la'oretz bo'oretz." Had this source spoken about, a challah tithe that was removed, that was separated in the diaspora, and then brought to the land of Israel. So you have a Kohen who comes to Israel with his challah. And the source would have told us that when this Kohen is visiting Eretz Yisrael with his chutz la'aretz challah, that he is allowed to eat together with a zar at the same table, then we could conclude that ain gozrin gzeira l'gzeira. Why? Because we would be saying that even though there is a Torah violation that lurks in the background, or that could have been anticipated, nevertheless, we are going to be lenient in this case, because this case would represent a gzeira l'gzeira. As the Gemara says, if it had told us a case of chalas chutzos in Eretz Yisrael, de'ika l'migzar mishum chalas ha'oretz de'oraisa v'lo gazrinon. If we would have allowed, let us say, chalas chutzos in Eretz Yisrael, that could have led to someone having, let us say, chalas Eretz Yisrael, the real challah, authentic challah, on a table together with a zar. And if that were on the table, if they were together, that could have led to a third step where the zar would actually eat the chalas Eretz Yisrael. That's a Torah violation. And even so, we would allow the case of chalas chutz la'aretz to be on the table with a zar at the same time in Eretz Yisrael. So then, ika l'mashma mina, from that leniency, we could have concluded, in fact, that we don't gozer gzera l'gzera. However, that's not what's taught. Ela chutz la'aretz, but the case that's taught, namely chalas chutz la'aretz in chutz la'aretz, If you see that we are being lenient in allowing that to be eaten at the table with a zar, that's the leniency there is mishum deleko lemigzarhu, because there is no worst case Torah violation that could arise. You're talking about a chutzlaret scenario. Aval hocha, but in the case with the chicken and milk, it could be that the Mishnah is talking about a prohibition of chicken and milk being put on the table at the same time, because somewhere down the road there could be, in fact, a Torah violation, even though it may be two steps down. Isharas leila suki oifugvina. If we were to allow him to have chicken and cheese on the table, Osi lasuki bosar ugvina. Well, he might come to have meat, cow meat, you know, animal meat and cheese on the table. That in and of itself is still not a Torah violation, but if it comes to that, that could lead umeichal bosar b'chol of doraisa. That could lead to eating the meat and milk together at the same time, which already, that would be a Torah violation. So if, once again, just to repeat, if we are basing ourselves, if Rav Yosef is basing himself that ain gozrin gzera l'gzera on the Halas Chutzlaretz source, Abaye is arguing that does not show us Ein Gozer in Gzera L'Gzera. Whereas in the case of the chicken and milk scenario, the Mishnah may be talking about, in fact, a Gzera L'Gzera. Don't put the chicken and the milk on the table because you might come to having meat and milk at the same time on the table. And that itself could lead to eating the meat and milk together. But as far as chicken and milk together, that we don't see as being an Iser Doraisa per se, contrary to the way Rav Yosef wanted to conclude things. Now, as we go on in the Gemara, we read this section already with a full explanation. So just for the sake of continuity, we continue reading the Gemara, but we are basing ourselves, of course, we're relying on the fact that we explained this section already. Maskif lo Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes here, according to Tosfos, directs his question on Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef had learned that the placing of the meat, the chicken and cheese on the table at the same time is a gzera otu, eating them together, which would be an iser d'oraisa. Rav Sheshes says, no, even if you would eat them together, it would not represent an iser d'oraisa. Maskif lo Rav Sheshes, sof, tsonein b'tsonein hu. After having put the chicken and the meat, the chicken and the milk on the table at the same time, let us say that would lead to one actually eating them together. But still, if you ate them together, you're eating chicken with cheese that have not been cooked together. They're cold with cold. They haven't been cooked together. So even according to you, that chicken and milk is an iser d'oraisa, that is true only if they had been cooked together. But the Mishnah doesn't present a scenario of them having been cooked together. Omar Abaye, the Mishnah, in fact, is concerned about a scenario of being cooked together. Don't put them on the table, at the chicken and milk at the same time. Because you might come to placing chicken in a bowl of hot milk and coming to eat that. The Gemara asks, well, self, even according to that illustration, kli sheni hu, the bowl is a secondary level vessel. The kli sheni eino mevashel, it's not capable of cooking. Cooking does not take place in a kli sheni. So, we don't see how we see, like Rav Sheshes objected, if you allow the placing of chicken and milk on the table at the same time, it still couldn't lead to a doraisa. Elo gzeiro shemo yale beilfis rishon. The fear is as follows. If we allow people to have chicken and milk at the same time on a table, the next guy might come along and have chicken and a pot of hot milk on the table at the same time, where he flipped the chicken into the pot of hot milk and come to eat it. So that would be a Torah level prohibition. And if you accept this approach, then Rav Yosef, assuming that, of course, if you assume that Ein Gozer Gzera L'Gzera, then Rav Yosef is anticipating a one-step level gzera, this case that we just described, and Rav Yosef would have a basis for coming to his conclusion that Of B'cholov would be Doraisa. However, we already, in the bracketed section, raised a question on the entire approach, because Rav Yosef's source for Ein Gozer Gzera L'Gzera came into question, thereby causing the possibility of yes, osin gzera gzera to come into the picture, and then Rav Yosef's whole proof would fall apart. The Mishnah. Before learning the Mishnah, we have a nosei, a topic heading, in which we've written on the outside margin, machlokes beishami beis hillel, im mutter lahalois gvino v'oif biachad ala shulchan. We'll see a controversy actually a continuation of the topic the first Mishnah made reference to, the issue of having meat and milk on the table at the same time. Here, the Mishnah speaks about chicken or bird meat explicitly. The opinion of Beis Shammai is that chicken and cheese can be on the table at the same time, however, they should not be eaten together. Ubeis Hillel omrim lo oila velo nechal. It's not to be brought on the table and certainly not to be eaten together. Omra Biosi, zu mikule Beis Shammai chumre Beis Hillel. This represents a rather unique situation of a case where Beis Shammai is lenient relative to Beis Hillel, whereas Beis Hillel restricts even the presence of chicken and milk at the same time on the table. Beis Shammai allows them to be on the table at the same time. So this is from the Kule, the leniencies of Beis Shammai and stringencies of Beis Hillel. Be'ezah Shulchan Omru, which kind of table are we referring to when we speak about a restriction? Answer, B'shulchan she'oichel olav, one's dining table. Avo b'shulchan she'soider olav, however, let's say, countertop, or a table that's sole purpose is for the preparation of food, where a person doesn't eat from that kind of table. Avo b'shulchan she'soider olav es hatavshil, a table that's used for preparing the food. No sein ze betzad ze ve'eino choshesh. You can have milk and chicken on such a table at the same time, and we are not worried of someone eating them together. The Gemara asks a question. We have noted, by the way, a long question that accompanies these next few lines of Gemara. You notice the kuf that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line. All of the lines opposite this form the question. The Gemara asks, Rabbi Yossi's appearance in this Mishnah seems to be simply reviewing or saying the same thing that we could have seen already from the opening of the Mishnah. What is Rabbi Yossi adding, therefore? Rabbi Yossi hainu tanakama. The Gemara points out that Rabbi Yossi, in saying that Beis Shammai is lenient, is in effect showing us what the Tanakhama already said. V'chitema achila gufo iko binayu. You might say that there is a difference between the two. The Ka'omar Tanakhama ba'ala komiflegi ba'achila lo pligi. The Tanakhama says that the controversy simply is around having them on the table at the same time, but there would be agreement regarding eating that even Beis Shammai, who is lenient, would not allow chicken and cheese to be eaten together. The Omarle Rabbi Yossi, Achila Gufa Mikule Beis Shammai Umuchumre Beis Hillel. And Rabbi Yossi, maybe he is coming to inform us that even regarding the eating itself, eating chicken and cheese together is also a leniency of Beis Shammai, that Beis Shammai not only allows them being on the table at the same time, but you can actually eat the chicken and cheese together. Well, that simply is not true. V'hatanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, and notice we've dashed underline Rabbi Yossi because we just tried to associate with Rabbi Yossi with a Beis Shammai leniency concerning the actual eating together. This isn't so. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shisha Dvar Mikulei Beis Shammai Umichumrei Beis Hillel, V'zu Achas Mehem. He says there are six things or six incidents where Beis Shammai is lenient in the face of a strict Beis Hillel. One of those six is this case, as follows. Oif Oila Im Hagvino Al Hashulchan V'eino Nechal Divrei Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel Omrim Lo'ola V'lo Nechal. In this source, we see, especially with the use of our dashed underline, the Beis Shammai is saying Eino Nechal, and this is associated with Rabbi Yossi, we also dashed underline. So Rabbi Yossi understands that Beis Shammai only has a leniency with regarding to them being on the table at the same time, but not with regard to eating. That being the case, the question is still in place, that Rabbi Yossi is saying the same thing as the Tanakhama. Tanakhama being the opening section of the Mishnah. The Gemara answers, Elaha komash malon. The point of Rabbi Yossi's appearance in the Mishnah is to tell us the following. Man Tanakama, who is the Tanakama? Rabbi Yossi. It's important for us to ascribe a name to the opinion stated at the opening of the Mishnah. Why is there importance in associating a name with something that was taught? Kola oimer davar b'shem omro mevi geula le'olam. When something is said in the name of the author of that idea, it brings redemption to the world. Shinemar, and the Gemara now cites the original source for this idea. This source is from the story of Purim, where Esther told the king Ahasuerus, in the name of Mordechai, that he was endangered. Without, of course, getting into the whole Purim story, but Mordechai had communicated information to Esther, and Esther relayed that information to the king Ahasuerus. And because of that incident, the Purim salvation unfolded. So that's what the Gemara intends with this pasuk, Shneema Vatoma Esther Lemelech B'Shem Mordechai. Let us glance at the Rashi. Kola Oimer Dover B'Shem Omro V'Hatana Shochach. When the Mishnah opened up, the Tana forgot who said this, who presented Beis Shammai as lenient relative to Beis Hillel. V'lo Hizkir Shmo B'Tchila. And as a result of forgetting the name, his name was not mentioned. Namely, Rav Yossi's name was not mentioned. V'chozar V'Hizkir Shmo. And then he remembered his name. And that's why it was important to have it inserted in the Mishnah, so as to fulfill this idea of Kola Oimer Dover B'Shem Omro Mevi Gula L'Oilom. The Gemara now starts a new discussion, we'll call it partially new discussion, regarding the cheese and chicken, or cheese and bird meat, on how one eats them. Tona Agro Chamua de Rebbe Abba. Agro is the name of a person who was the father-in-law of Rebbe Abba, has the following Tanaic source. Oif ugvino ne'echolin ba'afikurin. Chicken and cheese can be eaten in a afikurin, is a careless fashion. Rashi calls derech hefker. Who toni law? Agra taught this source. Who omar law? In other words, he taught the source based on a tradition, and now he explains it with his own insight. What is meant by in a careless fashion? Beloy netilas yodayim ubelo kinuach hapeh. That would mean that after, let us say, eating some cheese, if he wants to eat some chicken, he wouldn't wash his hands and he wouldn't clean out his mouth. These ideas of washing hands, cleaning mouth, are something that one would be expected to do if, let us say, after finishing some cheese, he wants to eat a piece of steak, piece of meat, as opposed to chicken. So this source is reflecting a type of lenient behavior with regard to the eating of chicken after cheese. Rav Yitzchok Brei Rav Mesharshi Iklo Lebe Rav Ashi. Rav Yitzchok visited Rav Ashi. Aisule Gvina. They served him cheese, ochal, and Rav Yitzchok ate it. Aisule Bisra. They brought him a piece of steak. Ochal, he ate it, velo moshe yodeh, he ate it without washing his hands. Let's just recount. He just finished eating cheese. He's now eating steak. He goes ahead and eats the steak without washing his hands. Amri lay, they pointed out to Rav Yitzchok, v'atoni agro chamua de Rebbe Abba, but agro taught in his source, oifug vino necholem bafikoren, and we should infer from this, oifug vino in, this idea of laxity is true with regard to chicken and cheese. However, basar ugvino lo, but you who are eating steak, you can't base your your leniency, your lack of washing hands based on Agra's source, because Agra's source focused on oif, on chicken meat. Omar Luhu, Rav Yitzchok answers, Hani mili balela. This whole need for washing one's hands after eating cheese, before eating meat, is true at night, when you can't see if anything is stuck, if any cheese remains on your hands. Avol biyomo hochazina. But by day, I can see. I finished eating the cheese. I see my hands are clean. There's no need for washing my hands. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.